What's your favorite scary cocktail?
If you've been searching for the perfect way to elevate your horror movie nights, look no further. Cocktails from the Crypt is here to satiate even the most bloodthirsty killers with a collection of chilling cocktails. Created by us, your favorite horror podcasters and all-round weirdos, this horror movie cocktail recipe book is packed with movie trivia, cocktail tips, and hair-raising drinks crafted to pair seamlessly with the most iconic movies the horror genre has to offer.
Cocktails from the Crypt features 60 sinister sips, each designed to transport you into the heart of your favorite horror films, including the Texas Chainsaw Margarita, Freddy's Boilermaker, and the Frankenstein Fizz.
Don't miss your chance to be among the first to own this ultimate horror movie night companion. Pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt now from your favorite retailer. You know, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Bookshop.org, Chapters Indigo, Blackwell's, or you know what? Just head to nofspodcast.com/go. We've got all the links there for you.
And don't forget to follow Nightmare on Film Street on social media for exclusive sneak peeks and behind-the-scenes glimpses from the making of Cocktails from the Crypt.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
And we're talking about Satan!
Satan.
That's right. We're talking about the spawn of Satan, one of the spawns of Satan.
Satan has so many spawns. He tries all the time.
He is the most prolific dad in literature.
Do Satanists have any other job? Every time you see a Satanist in cinema, they are trying to make a baby happen.
Yeah, there was a period where it was mostly just sort of bringing the devil onto Earth, but for the most part, really since Rosemary's Baby, I guess, we've pivoted to, he needs somebody to love. He needs a little baby.
You're framing that in such a non-rapey way, John, but it's never been non-rapey.
It's always rapey! Always, including this movie. We're talking about The First Omen, a movie that came out this year that is probably going to show up on a lot of people's best of 2024 lists, and also maybe one of the more surprising movies of the year.
Did you know that this was not supposed to be a theatrical movie?
It
was
going
to go right on Hulu.
I saw that it was supposed to. It's the opposite of what we always get. These movies that get thrown on Hulu that you really wish could have gone theatrically.
Pray,
no one will save you. Literally anything that goes to Netflix. Sometimes they do theatrical runs. But yes, this was supposed to be Hulu. And it was just because there was, a labor shortage or something?
Throw it on the theatrical schedule. Not because they saw it and they were like, this is a cinematic masterpiece.
No, it had nothing to do with what it looked like. And like, goddamn, this movie, again, is
good thing
shot.
Number one.
This movie shot for the big screen. It has incredible cinematography and sequences that rely on you being in a dark room with a giant screen and the best goddamn sound system in the city.
Yeah, this movie looks gorgeous.
Not even really a surprise once you realized who the director was. This is her
feature debut, John.
Arkasha Stevenson's feature debut. But we've seen her work before in Channel Zero, in Brand New Cherry Flavor. Like, she's done a lot of work. She has a visual style. And, like, what a grand entrance for her to make.
Are we gonna go into good things? Do you want to go into good things?
Well, we're already here. What are our other two good things?
Yeah, so if you haven't seen First Omen, we like to do this at the top of the show, just like an overview of three. Sometimes they're super niche.
Oh, I got a niche pick.
Sometimes they're high level. It depends on the film.
And good thing number two, super niche. We got a gross gross Satan hand coming out of places it should not come out of.
It was birthed.
It's all over this movie. We got some great Satan claws in this movie.
For number three, I'm going to go, this one's right up top. It's got an amazing opening kill. It sets you up for the tone of the film. It's got that shrill operatic score.
It's maybe the best sequence of the movie.
It's so good.
Yeah, it was 100%. Like, we're 5 minutes into the movie. I'm like, okay, let's see what this fucking thing's all about. 5 minutes in, the title card comes up. I'm like, okay, this might actually be pretty great.
I'm going to sit back in my chair. So I'm not a huge Omen fan.
No.
I'm not big on the Omen. Honestly, guys, if you're expecting us to tie this back to the original franchise and all the callbacks, we're not going to be able to do it.
No idea.
We're just not big Omen fans.
Nope.
I was not anticipating this movie at all, and then I saw the trailer. The trailer was one. It was cut so well, but it so accurately nailed the style of the movie.
Mm.
I was on board as soon as I saw the trailer. I was like, guys, I think The First Omen's going to be my favorite movie of the year.
That's what I meant when I was saying that this is one of the biggest surprises. Not that it did so well, because it kind of did okay in the theater. It's just that when they announced that we're doing a prequel to The Omen, I don't think anybody was jazzed. You know, it's not like they had a big name attached to it necessarily. Like, the horror nerds knew who this director was, but I don't think anybody was on board until that trailer. And then we all, record scratch, like, what? Took a double take? Like, this might be great. And then the early reactions, reviews started coming out, like, this is maybe the scariest movie of the year. And it really delivered. The scare sequences are built so well.
Yeah, it's a surprise banger of the year.
Yeah, we gotta throw to the trailer, because we're already getting into the conversation. We're gonna set the tone a little bit. Here's some fucking gothic horror music. Actually a great soundtrack. Maybe the only thing that I really love about the original Omen. What a score. When we get back, we're going to get into The First Omen.
You don't have to be afraid. God has great plans for you. This child is his way.
There's this girl at the orphanage. I think that she really needs someone to look out for her.
Carlito
suffers from a touch of madness.
You must be very careful, Margaret. Bad things will start to happen around her. Evil things.
It's all for you.
No, don't.
What does any of this have to do with Carlita?
His church has maintained power for thousands of years. Lady will stop at nothing to keep it that way. How do you control people who no longer believe? You create something to fear. I believe the girl is to be the mother.
Mother of what?
It's the mark of the devil.
It's not real. It's not real. It's not real. It's not real. It's not real.
What's not real?
Who said that?
This is very real.
2024, really a surprising year for nun horror, right? Especially...
It has been nun heavy.
We got a lot of nuns. We got a lot of female body autonomy. Surprise, surprise. I mean, all these American movies are dealing with something that they're really upset about right now politically. But The First Omen is currently sitting at a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb. 81% on Rotten Tomatoes and 3.4 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy seeing this movie right after Immaculate, because you're just like, wow, these are real handshake films coming out.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Do you want to take a wild guess? This has been my new favorite game. Do you want to take a wild guess what the audience rating was for this movie on Letterboxd?
Sorry, what's
or on Rotten Tomatoes?
What's the critic rating?
Critic rating's 81.
64.
It's 70.
Yeah. Oh!
Pretty much consistently across the board, audience rating always a little bit lower until you get into, like, the B movies. Like, you start getting into movies like Maximum Overdrive. Audience, wow, that's maybe a bad example. I'm the only one who likes Maximum
You're, like,
Overdrive.
Smashing that 100 button.
I would write a review every month to try and pump those numbers up. A fresh review
with
every
just
number.
Different like Jay DeHaan, John D, John with an H.
I have a feeling like I could submit more than one review as long as it's brand new. But like, am I really going to take all of my spare time toward writing Maximum Overdrive and Jason Takes Manhattan reviews? I don't have that kind of time. But yeah, the critics loved this movie. Everybody I've talked to really likes it, whether or not they love it. I think people's head over heels appreciation for it might come down to how much they like the original Omen. I have heard a lot of people, just like the general public, talking about the jackal of it all. Everybody seems real upset that there isn't a legit jackal in the movie.
Jazzed about the jackal or not jazzed?
Not
about the
jazzed
jackal.
About the jackal. Even the group that we saw it with afterward was like, "Where's the jackal? Thought she was supposed to, like he was supposed to be birthed by a jackal."
There was a jackal.
Kinda.
They talk about the jackal. I don't know how they acquired the jackal. Were they like making a handshake deal with Satan and he's like, "Here's my jackal, make me a kid," or is Satan the jackal? He just comes to Earth as a jackal?
It might be one of those sort of like,
somebody tell me the lore.
Well, again, sort of, you know, the blasphemous mirroring, evil mirroring of the Holy Trinity. Like, I think we still kind of have a Trinity, like an evil Trinity. Like, we've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, I think they're trying to, like, get the trifecta of sins, like, sexual sins for the birthing. Like, there's rape, there's bestiality, there's incest. Like,
got it all.
We are ticking them all off.
Yeah, because in the beginning of the movie, in that cold open that Kim was talking about, in our cold open, we discover that Satan has already had a child. But that child is a female.
And you're like, record scratch, Damien's not alive in the 70s. What's happening?
Yeah, and it's revealed that that's not the Antichrist. That's just the mother of the Antichrist.
That's Antichrist 0.5.
Yeah, we've got a cabal of nuns and priests, people who are doing anything to bring about the spawn of Satan, and the Antichrist has to come from an incestuous pact. He has to have he has to rape his own daughter.
And I think they discover that because they keep having girls.
Yeah. They keep having girls, or the babies are just like super deformed and die.
Which is, I don't think that's a paranormal thing. I think that's an incest thing, but...
Well, I don't think we're at the incest part yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I guess you're right.
We are just in the, like, in for most of the movie, we're
just in the half jackal situation.
that's really what it is. Like, it's the evil DNA does not mesh with the human DNA.
That was one thing I really enjoyed about this movie, is that it's not a secret pact of, like, Satanists inside this Catholic sect. They all still identify as super Catholic. Like, they are doing God's work because the current climate is hippies rebelling God.
Yeah, people are turning away from the church in
droves.
People
are getting secular.
Yes, that's such a funny moment, right? Like, what does the church fear the most? You're like, Satan. You're like, no, they fear secularism.
They fear no tithing.
Yeah, they fear rock and or roll. And so, like, hey, minor spoilers ahead, just for Immaculate, and obviously this movie. I mean, we're spoiling the hell out of the first Omen. We're talking about the whole thing from front to back. But I'm going to draw some comparisons.
I don't think you can spoil a prequel, John.
To Immaculate. I'm spoiling Immaculate here. So if you want to skip ahead like 30 seconds, 60 seconds, that's maybe your best bet if you haven't seen that movie yet. But not just the fact that we have a nun giving birth to something evil. It's the pact of the church that is the real comparison to Immaculate, right? Because
mm-hmm.
in both of these movies, like, no, we're still on God's side. We're doing God's work here. We need to remind the world that the devil exists. They think he's not real, so we're gonna do the effort of making the Antichrist. And, you know, maybe it'll bring about the rapture and everybody in the world will die or go to hell.
But,
or
I mean,
heaven.
We benefit from the rapture, so it's fine.
Yeah, like, no matter what, win-win for them. They're like, hey, either we get out of here faster, maybe we get promoted, I don't know, that'd be great, wouldn't it? But at the end of the day, we are doing the Lord's work by bringing Satan onto the earth.
Yeah, and it's makes for a really interesting identity crisis with Margaret, the main character, because when we learn, and we'll talk about this, because we learn very late in the film, that she is the first successful spawn of Satan.
Yeah.
She is the first daughter of the jackal that has, you know, made it to adulthood, not deformed.
Yeah.
And she's the one that they're setting up to be the mother of the Antichrist. But So she is already like Satan's daughter, right?
Absolutely. So,
but she's been raised in the Catholic Church her whole life. And even after she's like regaining the memory of this rape situation to bring about the Antichrist, they're treating her like a child of God. Her, I guess, like mentor is Bill Nye. He's amazing. And he's like a stepdad to her. He's watched her since she was a child, clearly because he's, you know, trying to keep her on the path and keep her from going crazy because she's been having visions her whole life.
Yeah, she's been essentially haunted by demons.
Yeah, but when she's in that birthing sequence, like, he's caring for her. He's like, oh, is God speaking to you? And he's just like, I'm pretty sure she's got a direct line to hell. I'm pretty sure God is not speaking to her.
Well, in their eyes, she's like the Virgin Mary. Like, she is this mother. It's not an immaculate birth, but she is also a disciple of the Lord here. Like, she's got some really horrible work to do.
I mean, she's the most goth as fuck Virgin Mary, but yeah.
Yeah, there's a reverence they have for her. Not all the nuns. Some of them are just like, fuck this bitch. but especially Bill Nye's character. Like, everybody seems to have a special appreciation for her.
Yeah, he's got a very fatherly affection towards her.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting, because once it was revealed that she was evil, I assumed that they were going to be like, oh, finally we can get this hellspawn out of our pristine Roman church. But they are treating her like a nun.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that baby.
I mean, they do like light her on fire after they get the boy. But like,
that's only because she tries to kill the baby.
Exactly. They're like, because they were totally ready to do skin to skin with it.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, oh, a boy needs his mother.
Yeah. Can we just say that in this 2-hour movie, the reveal that she is already the daughter of Satan comes an hour and 45 minutes too late?
That's the only thing about this movie that I.
That's the that only I'm, thing.
Yes. That I'm just like, meh, the story is meh. Like, we've set it up so that there's this weird girl at the what do you call a fucking church? I'm really having a hard time.
Well,
here.
I think they're actually at an orphanage. I think it's specifically
a Catholic orphanage. Yeah. Okay, thank you. There's a weird girl there, and Margaret really empathizes with her because that was her experience growing up. She was a very weird, rebellious child.
Yeah, they were problem
she
children,
had visions, la la la. And this girl, Carlita, is like super strange, looks goth as fuck, and is spooky. And so she's like, I will take you under my wing, little bat child.
She sees one creepy drawing that doesn't use any color. It's just a girl floating above some other girls
she's like,
in
I
black
get
and
it.
White. Yeah, she's like, I get this girl, yeah.
I get it. And so they have this like unique bond. And the film is really trying to push you towards, and like, but I mean the film, I mean Father Brennan, who's like, yo, she is the spawn of Satan, they're going to impregnate her even though she's 12 years old with the devil's child. And so Margaret's trying to rescue her from this Catholic nunnery, and the film never pulls the wool over your eyes.
No.
Like, you're like, pretty sure, okay. And they don't hide from it necessarily. Every time Margaret wakes up, her hair is like spewed out like a spider. Like,
well, she's the one being haunted by demons. Like, of course she's the one that's going to get attacked, and she's the one that's seeing all these weird birthing visions. It's not going to be this 14-year-old girl that she's friends with.
No, and do I think it's important that this film is mysterious and has a big, like, hoorah at the end? No, but the film is intending to do it. When they're looking for the mark of Satan, it's done like it's a big reveal that it's on Margaret's scalp.
We're like,
thank you for catching up. Like, let's move on.
There is a great moment, though, where she looks, like, directly at the camera, like, when that reveal happens.
Pretty good.
Hey, if you did not see that coming, great moment. And kudos to them for trying to build some sort of mystery here, because it is a prequel. We know how it's gonna end. The baby's gonna get away. It's gonna go to Gregory Peck's family. It's gonna grow up and be weird and creepy and, you know, influence the death of a lot of people around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also then going to become the president of the United States, I think. Like, isn't that like the Omen 3 or the Omen 4?
Don't try, John. Don't try.
It's Sam Neill, and he's the Omen baby grown up, and he's like, I'm one of the elite now, and I run the world. I don't know.
I mean, I
haven't seen it, but I've seen some scenes online. It looks kooky.
I mean, that's the least far-fetched thing.
Yeah. So kudos to them for trying to put some air of mystery into this, some sort of rug pull, because without that, you know, even though it wasn't super effective, the entire movie is laid out for you. You know how it's going to end. Some of these prequels can be a dirge toward the end. because you know what's coming.
Yeah, you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. That's not what's good about this movie, though. Like, aside from the fact that I feel like I'm ahead of the whole movie,
Yeah.
It has so many bangers in it in terms of scare sequences, and the overall mood, visuals, and tone keep me on side the whole movie.
Yeah.
Particularly, so we talked a little bit about the opening, but we didn't really talk about it because I don't think we wanted to spoil it up top.
Yeah.
But the sinister smile and like the chunk of brain missing from that priest.
Yeah.
was just amazing. It's like a great visual, and the slow-mo with the operatic sound of the score with the stained glass falling.
It's
cinema.
All the best sequences of this movie are hard to discuss on a podcast because it is very...
Are you insulting the way I described that? Because I was having a hard time.
I think if I hadn't seen the movie before, I wouldn't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh, great!
No, I'm kidding. Like it is an alchemy, and it has more of a visual style to it than you would ever. There's way more talent in this prequel than it deserves.
The performance, Nell Tiger-Free is Margaret. She is perfect casting.
Oh, incredible.
She's so good in this movie. She plays the perfect balance of like innocence. I'm about to be a nun. I'm super chaste. And also, like, I could be the daughter of the devil.
Oh, yeah. That scene after.
Great balance.
Where she goes clubbing and she's hungover and her makeup's a little, like, smeared and her hair's all splayed out like a
so
spider
good.
Web.
I'm like, can I have a Barbie doll of this, please? Loved it. Loved it. And another sequence that was just maybe my favorite bit of the movie is when she maybe has, like, an affair? Breaks her vows before she's made them with a guy she meets at the club. She doesn't remember what happened because she was drinking. And she stumbles into him in the streets of Rome. And he gets hit by a car. But not just hit by a car. He gets pressed and pinned into a wall.
Yeah.
And she's holding him, waiting for the ambulance to come. And the bottom half of him falls off.
Yeah. And she tries to carry him away. And she doesn't realize that she's only got his fucking upper half.
Ugh. So good.
Incredible. Like, there's even just great sequences where she's in her room. Like, small little scares where, like, the movie
kind of slows
down. Where
she sees the Babadook in the corner.
She sees the Babadook. It's that exact thing. But it's done so well. And, like, you know it's coming. But the way they build it and where they guide your eye and where the scare actually comes from, it is so well constructed.
Yeah, and there's a great, like, contrast to that. It's almost like the reverse where she's locked in the bad room and she's seeing the visual of this nun who we'll talk about in a minute lit herself on fire, and that visual, like, we see this creepy, she's almost covered in oil, like, yeah, oil slicked, standing in the corner just giggling, and the movie does not let up. Like, it does not let you look away. Once we see it, she is there for like 5 minutes just giggling like a little fiend, and I fucking hated it.
Oh yeah, she looks.
I hated every fucking minute of it.
She looks like she crawled out of hell, still singed. It's awesome.
And she's not just like spook jump scare, I'm gone. She's like, I'm gonna stand here for 5 minutes while you're locked in this room with me, and I just did not agree.
There were plenty of sequences where Kim did not look at the TV screen. You're like, you've seen the movie before, which leads me to believe there are chunks of this movie you still have not seen for the first time.
Yeah,
because there's no way you actually watched him in the theater. Such a scaredy cat.
I can get away with it in the theater because it's so dark. Like, I literally just sit completely normal, like I'm watching it, and I just close my eyes. And I'm like, Kim, don't move, don't change your body posture like you're hiding in fear. Just close your eyes gently, and no one will know. I also do that when I'm crying in the movie.
You close your eyes?
No, I just don't move. I just cry and pretend I'm just watching the movie normal.
I do that if I'm crying in the movie theater. I just pretend I'm yawning, like, oh man, I gotta rub the sleep out of my eyes.
Or when you try to like wait for a loud part where you can be like.
She's just having a really hard time.
It's like,
know,
trying to eat popcorn in a quiet place. So you're like, oh, they're running now.
This week's episode of Nightmare on Film Street is brought to you by Diabolic DVD. You already know these guys. For 25 years, Diabolic DVD has been the source for horror, cult, and weird cinema to customers around the world.
Diabolik offers a one-stop shopping experience for all your favorite labels, including Cauldron Films, Arrow, Synapse, Def Crocodile, Mondo Macabro, and many more from all corners of the globe. Whether you're looking for the definitive version of City of the Living Dead, or you're trying to upgrade your crusty old DVD of Cannibal Holocaust, Diabolik DVD is the owner-operated small business choice you've been craving. Shop online at DiabolikDVD.com and visit their sister company, Cauldron-Films.com. P.S. All orders are shipped in a box, because they're not jerks, and they know you don't want your Blu-rays damaged when you get them. That's DiabolikDVD.com, spelled DiabolikDVD.com. Get yourself some physical media, because there's no streaming service out there better than your own DVD shelf.
We might be too old for free candy, but we're not going to let that stop us from having a ghoul time. This October, we're playing Trick or Treat with the Spirits of Halloween over at the Nightmare on Film Street Fiend Club on Patreon.
Each week, we're pulling movies at random from our spooky mystery cauldron. It's a McDonald's boo bucket. And we're either going to be given a treat, that's a horror movie we really want to talk about, or a trick, a horror movie we hoped we'd never have to discuss in public.
Join us as we let the spirit of Halloween take the wheel and play Trick or Treat with the Nightmare on Film Street podcast, only on our Patreon at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. That's nofspodcast.com/fiendclub.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, no, this movie rocks. It's crazy because it has all of the things about a modern prequel, legacy,
it's
sequel type movie.
It's all for you, Damien.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's retreading the best beats of the movie that it's riffing on. A movie that, in the timeline, hasn't come out yet.
Can we just make a universal agreement now? And this is also having just seen Alien Romulus as well. Let's not repeat lines from iconic movies that we're sequelizing, prequelizing.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to.
I'm not excited to.
You're doing it as fan service, but we don't like it.
I don't know, man. Like, I talked to plenty of people online who are just like, yo, when they said that line, yo, this is the best. People love it.
I don't like it.
Yeah. And I like to tell myself that the filmmaker, it wasn't their choice.
It wasn't their choice.
The studio executive.
Exactly.
Was like, we have to have this line in here. You have to have these four things.
I'm looking at you,
that,
executive producers.
You do whatever you want after that. And it breaks my heart every time. The crazy thing, though, is that even that opening sequence we've talked about is kind of a riff on a scene from the original Omen.
Well, it's well done.
It is very well done. It's also a little different. Like, they tweaked it slightly.
Mm-hmm.
The scene where that nun lights herself on fire and throws herself off the roof. The only thing that's different about it is that she lights herself on fire. Like,
mm-hmm.
The fact that it's all for you. Like, we don't need any of that. I don't need any of that.
I do want to talk about her for a minute, though, while we're here.
Sure.
What's her deal?
What's her deal?
Who the fuck is she?
I don't know.
Do you think she's a daughter of Satan and she's been thrown by the wayside now that they have a different one? Or
I'm not sure. That was the impression I got.
Because she seems very, like, jelly.
She could just have a mental illness. Like, she could be terrorized by demons also. I think we're supposed to assume that she's also a daughter of Satan. And that's
But they're
just
really trying to hide the fact that there's multiple. Like, we think there's only one successful one.
Yeah.
But she is weird as fuck. And she also seems very protective over Carlita.
Yeah.
Margaret never asks Carlita what the girl's deal is and what she says to her.
Yeah.
And she kills herself pretty quick into it. So we don't get a lot of information from her other than the fact that she's creepy.
Yeah. I think it's a bit of a red herring. There's the cult surrounding this girl and there are people protecting her. I had assumed, especially when we first see her, because there's a bit of like, oh, she's here kind of attitude that... Yeah, that she was also one of these daughters of Satan, but it didn't quite work out. We later learn that Margaret and Carlita are probably the only two, so I think she is just a nun who's been tipped over the deep end from the whispering of demons and the devil in her ear.
Now, there's nothing that attributes to this in the movie, but it's just my internal headcanon, is that I think maybe they're setting her up to be another, like, tier one mother in case... The daughters they've set up to have the second generation, hopefully a male heir, don't work out. They have another woman making tier one, making girls to have the son. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, she's here to help make the farm team. Yeah. But she's only giving birth to like creepy, weird deformities.
Exactly. And if Margaret and or in a few years Carlita are successful, then her heir would have, you know, like no claim to the throne.
Sure.
That's my internal headcanon.
Okay. All right.
Because she's weird. She's creepy. And what's her deal?
And it's driving her insane, being raped by the devil over and over, is what you're saying?
Probably.
I believe it. Now, with that in mind, the head nun of the orphanage, who's also the leader of the satanic Catholic cult.
Mm-hmm.
That's Margaret's mother, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, she reveals that she's like, a baby needs to deny its mother, and then she touches her head affectionately.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
you're
right. That was important to the story.
Yeah, like, you're like,
it doesn't really add anything beyond the fact that she doesn't care about her, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's only once she gives, man, this is maybe a comment just on like, you know, bad family relations, but it's only once she gives them a child, especially a son, that she gives a fuck about
her. That's what it's like being in the royal family, John.
What's the difference between the satanic cult and the royal family?
You know how many fucking brides of kings got fucking beheaded because they didn't give the king a son? A lot.
Different times, Kim.
More than none.
More than none. More than seven.
Especially Henry the VI?
Yeah, he had a lot of them.
He was a dick about it. So I have another thing I wanted to talk about before we wrap up here.
Oh, okay, sure.
We haven't really talked about Margaret's roommate, who is a very great surprise baddie.
Yeah.
She's a great friend, by what we assume. She gets her to the disco. She hears Bonnie M for the first time.
Yeah. These are the gifts you give a new roommate.
But we learn that she's part of the Satanist cult, and she was the one that set up the whole conception night.
Yeah, she got her drunk, she got her drugged, she dragged her out to a satanic cult where she got raped by the devil. Great friend.
Well, I get it. Okay, fine.
She's a great employee is what she is.
But at the end, when they do the baby switcheroo after Damien is born, and they're setting it up to like, okay, the end of this movie is the beginning of The Omen.
Ugh.
She is the one that facilitates the switcheroo. Don't you think she looks a lot like the mother in the Omen movie? Like the original Omen?
Maybe. Yeah.
Don't you think she's the one that's like, it's all for you, Damien? Because isn't that the mom?
It's been a long time since I've watched
No, I think
the
Omen. It looks just like the roommate.
You're much better at drawing comparisons between actors. We can watch a movie and there's a background actor and you're like, that's that character and that other thing. That you have like a wild capability to do that.
But I think because... So this movie ends and Margaret gets away. She has twins. It's not just Damien. Damien's got a twin sister. And her, Carlita, and the girl escape to the wilderness and they have this cute goth witchy cabin.
Yep.
And they're setting it up for like a Lion King 2.5, like an in-between prequel where Father Brennan's like, your daughter is going to be very important.
Oh, come on. That is a horrible impression of Ralph Ineson. Give me another lower bell ugly one.
Your daughter
this
is
perfect.
Very important.
He's got a more grumbly voice like this.
That
right?
Doesn't sound like him at all.
No, that sounds more like Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget.
Mad Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're setting up a sequel to this prequel. But it also establishes that Margaret isn't involved in The Omen, the movie, at all.
Nah, well, I think at the end of the first Omen, her daughter is as old as the child is in The Omen, the 1976 Omen, right? 76?
Oh, now we're losing me.
Yeah. Because there's a bit of a time jump, right? I think essentially what we are establishing here is that because she has had twins, that is sort of God stepping in. And, like, I imagine that the daughter is a force of good.
It's like a Gabriel, maybe?
Sure. That's a great way to look at it. And that Damien is the flip side of that coin. So, like, yeah, you got the Antichrist, but you also got this other child that is probably prophesized to defeat the Antichrist or whatever. Like, the last line of the movie, Father Brennan's like, you know, they've named him Damien, credits, you know, whatever. So I think if we're going to have a sequel, it's going to be the church hunting Margaret and Carlita and her daughter, and they're going to have to at some point fight Damien and the church.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the key to defeating Damien is going to be with this daughter.
Yeah.
Which, whatever, you know. Like, man, I hate the last 10 minutes of this movie. Like, I really enjoy...
You just don't like setting up for a sequel.
No, I don't like setting up for a sequel. I don't like the building the bridge to a movie that already exists. I hate the, like, here, we've got a file on the new father, and it's a fucking photo of Gregory Peck, and, like, we're handing the baby off to them. It's just like, I don't care. That is what I really like about the first Omen, is that it's so well made that even with all of that and all of the retreads from the original Omen, I still think it's a banger. Like, I think it's a really good movie.
See, when they're writing a good movie, they're trying to get people like you on side. They're like, there's going to be some curmudgeons out there who are just going to be like, meh, 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 about everything we do, and yeah, we're going to make it so pretty that they're going to shut their mouths.
Yeah. This is a very pretty horror movie, and it's very scary, and it looks incredible.
I love how mature Satan-y it is. Like, it's so mature goth.
What do you mean?
We just don't get a lot of, like, mature supernatural stuff. Like, this is handled so elegantly. Like,
oh, okay.
It's very posh.
Okay.
I just think it's beautiful.
All right. I thought you meant, like, more that the subject matter of it was, like, sort of unflinching in a way. Like, that birthing sequence where she's watching a child be born and the fucking hand of Satan comes out of this girl's crotch and reaches out toward the camera.
That's gnarly. I just think aesthetically, it's just super polished.
It is very much an adult movie.
Yeah. I just love it. I love that it's humorless and that it's just, like, gothic full tread.
And great characters. You say humorless? I could watch an entire separate movie with the nuns who are smoking and peeling potatoes.
Oh, they're amazing.
And jumping on trampolines and reminiscing about the fucking milkman that used to come by before they got turned to nuns.
Oh man, that nun smoking a cigarette on a trampoline, I was like, I think I could be a nun.
Yeah, you're watching that, you're like, this doesn't look so bad. I could hang out with the girls, we could smoke cigarettes.
Peel potatoes all day? Like, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
Gossip?
I gotta pray every once in a while, and, like, no one's ever allowed to see any of my skin.
Yeah, it's just like nobody can see my hair ever again. What will I do?
I really do think you're right about this being a mature movie, and, like, you don't get it a whole lot, because Immaculate is a totally fine movie. And it does break my heart a little bit that Immaculate wasn't the better of these two, because Immaculate
is an original story.
It's an original story. I would have loved for them to have been the tentpole satanic movie of the year. It maybe has the ending that we all wish we could have had in the first Omen, but they couldn't do it because it's a fucking prequel. But Immaculate feels like it's for teens and tweens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's a little edgy if you're 14, but that's essentially the target audience. Like, you're aiming to get kids that are still...
I don't know if it's targeting kids, but sure. I think it's a little less mature than the first Omen.
Well, frankly, I think a lot of adult movies are... They're made for adults, but they're... You know, like, the way that Maybelline's strong enough for a man, but made for a woman.
It's not Maybelline.
No, what, isn't it?
No, Maybelline's makeup.
Oh, whatever. Most movies that are made for adults are also made for teens. Like, there's Hereditary is an adult movie. The first Omen's an adult movie. Like, I don't think most horror movies these days are really as mature as you're trying to describe.
Yeah, a lot of movies are trying to target a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a nice little capsule into gothic horror that we don't often get because it's not the most commercial thing aesthetically.
Yeah.
And it's fucking lovely.
Yeah, incredible visuals.
It's crazy that, like, story to me is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the thing I like the least about this movie.
Isn't that crazy?
But I fucking love it.
Yeah, that is what has made this movie so surprising for me this year. Yeah, it's got, you know, like, on paper, I should not like it. But, like, I cannot deny how well it was made.
And you're like, it's scary, it's gorgeous, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and so I gotta sort of, like, put a partition in my brain when I say this next sentence. But, like, I think this is a 3.5 out of 4.
I think it's a 3.5 out of 4 as well.
Yeah. Like, fundamentally, I want to protest this movie a little bit because it still has
a little bit of prequelitis.
Yeah, it's got all the things I don't really love about modern major studio movies. But, like, goddamn, 3.5 out of 4.
But there was a half a guy.
Wait, yeah, there was a half a guy. Way to
and
go,
some
our
guy got his brain cut out, like, and a hand came out of hoo-ha.
Yeah, man. It's a good movie.
That was lovely.
Great satanic score.
And even seeing it twice this year, like, I'm not burnt out on it. I could watch it again right now.
Yeah. I really, it's like, do I want to own it? But, like, it will
I
look.
I want to own it.
It
it's
will,
so pretty.
Yeah, if we watch it on a disc, it's gonna look way better than if we're streaming.
Our internet's so bad.
Yeah, it's really, really bad. Do you think this movie's gonna get nominated for any Oscars?
Ooh.
Because that was originally when this went to the theater, I had thought that it was because this was a tentpole movie for 20th Century Fox, which is owned by Disney now, and that this was a sort of jewel on the crown of that studio.
I think it's sophisticated enough that it could get a nod, but it would be something like production design.
Yeah. Oh, man. Look, we didn't even talk about that. The costuming is amazing. The sets look incredible. Like, it feels like the 70s, which is something we're going to talk about a lot in next week's episode. But I think what it's going to get nominated for and what they're going to try and push for is the score.
Yeah, score or production design, something along those lines.
Because I'm pretty sure that was what the original Omen had won. They won the Academy Award for score, which is so great. Fucking, like, 1976, hella satanic score. Jerry Goldsmith fucking killed it. I think Mark Coven is the composer for this movie. What a goth name!
Fucking Coven.
Yeah, Mark Corvin. Yeah. I think it's going to get nominated for a score. I think that's what they're going to push for, just because it's what had won previously. And I think there's been a lot of good sentiment around this movie. That's something that it could conceivably win. It's a killer score, because it does, you know, it does lean a little bit into what the original Omen score was like, and it has its own sort of hallucinatory, dreamscapey vibe.
And it's got Daddy Cool.
Anyway, that's what we thought of the first Omen. There's a pretty good chance that if you're a horror fan in 2024, you saw this movie. I mean, fuck, it's playing on Hulu or Disney Plus right now, depending on where you live. You can watch it tonight. Let us know what you thought of the first Omen on social media or in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord.
If you need more Halloween-y content, consider joining us on Patreon. We have an exclusive limited series there called Trick or Treat, where we are pulling movies out of the Halloween grab bag, and it's a ton of fun. Check that out at patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet.
We're going to be back again next week, and of course, we're going to be on social media talking about the 31 Day Horror Challenge. This is sweeps week for horror fans. This is the best month of the year, but we'll be back again next Thursday to talk to you about some more satanic horror. Until then, I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Get ready to scream, shiver, and maybe even lose a little sleep. It's time for Nightmare on Film Street's 31 Day Horror Challenge. 31 horror movies, 31 days, 31 chances to win a spooktastic prize pack to help keep Halloween alive 365.
This year's prize pack includes goodies from Nightmare on Film Street's new upcoming book, Cocktails from the Crypt, 4K remastered copies of Demons and Demons 2, a Stephen King Blu-ray box set, Spirit Halloween lunchboxes, pumpkin carving kits, Halloween CD soundtracks, including the long out-of-print Monsters Speak, Nightmare on Film Street sticker packs, and more.
The rules are simple. Head over to nofspodcast.com/Halloween. Download the 31-Day Horror Challenge Movie Guide and post your Halloween watch list on social media using the hashtag 31-Day Horror Challenge to make this Halloween a night you'll never forget.
That's nofspodcast.com/Halloween and the hashtag 31-Day Horror Challenge.
What's your favorite scary cocktail? If you've been searching for the perfect way to elevate your horror movie nights, look no further. Cocktails from the Crypt is here to satiate even the most bloodthirsty killers with a collection of chilling cocktails. Created by us, your favorite horror podcasters and all-round weirdos, this horror movie cocktail recipe book is packed with movie trivia, cocktail tips, and hair-raising drinks crafted to pair seamlessly with the most iconic movies the horror genre has to offer.
Cocktails from the Crypt features 60 sinister sips, each designed to transport you into the heart of your favorite horror films, including the Texas Chainsaw Margarita, Freddy's Boilermaker, and the Frankenstein Fizz.
Don't miss your chance to be among the first to own this ultimate horror movie night companion. Pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt now from your favorite retailer. You know, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Bookshop.org, Chapters Indigo, Blackwell's, or you know what? Just head to nofspodcast.com/go. We've got all the links there for you.
And don't forget to follow Nightmare on Film Street on social media for exclusive sneak peeks and behind-the-scenes glimpses from the making of Cocktails from the Crypt.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.